Take your Bible, please, and open with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 3. Luke, chapter number 3. And we'll put in the neighborhood of verse number 23. Luke, chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verse number 23. And I'm also going to take a moment to run over to Matthew, chapter 1, and look at verse 16 here in just a moment. Luke 23, and I'm not going to ask you to stand because of time. I'm interested in what the Bible has to say in the book of Luke, chapter number 3, and verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And then we go into, in my Bible, a column and a half of what I call begats, or in this case, the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of. And so I'm interested tonight in looking at this passage, because what we have in Luke chapter number 3, we have the lineage not of Joseph, the adopted father, but we have instead the lineage of Mary. And I'll prove that to you here in just a moment. We get just a brief word about the age of Christ as far as the beginning of his ministry. And so the time, if you see what's going on chronologically, in Luke chapter number 3, we're already at the baptism. Matter of fact, we're already, John's in prison. In verse number 22, the Holy Ghost descends on Christ and says, "Thou art my beloved Son," in verse 22. And verse number 23, he's about 30 years of age by the time of this book. But we're going to revert back now, and we're going to pick up what Matthew leads with. He starts out the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. But Luke, instead, he is not trying to prove that Christ is the King of Kings or the King of the Jews. And so he doesn't lead with pedigree, but instead he leads with the human birth and the story in more detail than any other writer about the story of Christ and how the angel came to Mary, and on we go. And more details that we would not otherwise know. We would know about shepherds had it not, we would not know about angels had it not been for the writing of Dr. Luke. But I'm interested in what the Bible says, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. The word "supposed" there is the same word that is often translated as the word "reckon." Now, in the mountains, if you say, "Are you going to go to town tomorrow?" and you say, "Well, I reckon," that means you might go and you might not in the mountains. But that's not what that means, okay? If somebody tells you, "Well, I reckon," that's not what that means in the Bible. In the Bible, it's an accounting term. In the Bible, like, you know, to reckon the books, you reckon your balances. They have to reconcile. It's short for reconcile. And so they have to reconcile your numbers. But more than that, it is a legal term. As a matter of fact, there's a form just after this in the concordance that is a legal term, that's used exclusively as a legal term. This term is taken and a suffix is added to it. But the idea behind it is that legally, the word "supposed," it doesn't mean people just assumed or people thought that's what it was, but the idea behind it that legally that's how it was, that he had taken on the name of Joseph, if I could say it that way. He had taken on his name. He had taken on that legality. And Joseph apparently did some legal adoption and adopted the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you say, "Well, how do you know it's not Joseph's genealogy?" And all, it's very simple. We have Joseph's genealogy in the book of Matthew. And Joseph's genealogy, Joseph's dad's name's Jacob, not Heli. But the Bible here says that the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Well, let me just quickly share with you that in your Bible, the phrase "son" can mean several different things. On occasion, it means grandsons. And it doesn't matter how many greats there is added to it. So in other words, you could say, I could make the statement and say that David, the king, was the son of Noah. And you go, no, he wasn't. Yes, he was. It's just that it's a long way back, but indeed he was. As a matter of fact, we could all say we are the sons of Noah. Would you agree with that? Now, the three boys were different out of the different ones of the boys. It's where some of the racial issues come from. The racial divide comes from. But we can all say we're back to Noah. Because ain't nobody existed on the world. Nobody's left, okay? So we're all the sons of Noah. And we could say that without anybody, without exaggerating. We are his sons. Great, 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 great sons. But we are his sons. And so it can be used in that term. That he could be a grandson. But it also, when we say sons-in-law, what we don't understand is that in the Old Testament time, in the Hebrew times, when you married into a family, you were reckoned to be now part of that family. You understand what I'm saying? And so, let me see if I can say it this way. My wife and I only begat one son, and he's in heaven. But we still have four sons. Okay? One by law, son-in-law, and three grandsons, and the granddaughter. And those are all true statements. So, understand if I can, you didn't run genealogy on the women. They just didn't do that. There were no genealogies of the ladies. It wasn't done. You were interested in the sire. You were interested in the man's side and that lineage. And so this is what we understand, what we know to be the genealogy of Mary. And you say, well, why is that important, preacher? Well, from the human aspect, there's some things that has to happen. You see, if he is going to rule and reign on the throne of his father David, he's got to have a birth connection to David. And you say, well, Joseph does. It's established in the book of Matthew. It does, but here's the problem. And I'll get to this in a moment. That line was cursed by Jeremiah the prophet because of the sins of Jeconiah. And he said they'd be cut off from the throne. God had promised them the throne forever, and he had promised David the throne eternal. But from the line of Solomon, God said, that's it, through the prophet Jeremiah. I'm cutting the line off. Uh-oh. Now what we're going to do? That's the point of the message. Look with me just for a moment in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. Look in verse number 16. Flip over there and get the parallel passage. The Bible says the beginnings of Christ, the early part of the story. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So let me just show you a couple of things very quickly. The word of whom, when you study the original language, and believe me, I'm not trying to correct the King James Bible. I'm trying to expound it. And that's what we do. We use the original languages to expound, to make clearer and make bigger. Not make smaller, but make bigger the English. Of whom is the feminine gender? Everything has gender. Well, of whom is feminine? And so it's obviously not talking about Joseph. It's talking about Mary because it's of her. It doesn't say of him. It says of her. If it had said of him, then we'd have said, okay, it's talking about Joseph. It doesn't say that. It says of her. Of her. You say, well, it says whom. It's neutral. Yeah, but again, in the Greek language, it is exhes, or would be pronounced in English, has, exhes, which is feminine, of her. All right? And so feminine form refers to Mary. But then look at the next word, was born. Was born. The word was born, I'm going to give you the Greek word just because you have an English word to connect it with. The word is genoa. And it's where we get the word genealogy. It's also where we get the word genetics from. and it is commonly translated begat. And the word begat almost exclusively means to sire or to procreate. It has the idea of engendering, and it, in the usual sense, it is of the male in most cases, with some exceptions. The Holy Ghost begat the Lord Jesus, and that word is used. The Holy Ghost, Genoa, Christ with Mary. And so it is used of the divine creation of Christ. And so that's not male. That's obviously that's divine. But here, and so we have an exception that God uses the word, that God begets. And so when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's exactly what the Bible says. That's exactly what the scripture says. That's exactly what the Bible teaches, that God begat Christ. Okay? The word Genoa, genetically, God begat him. He was very God. Well, here, the Bible uses the very same term as the word begat, that Mary, Genoa, Jesus who's called Christ. Didn't say Joseph. Understand what flesh he got and the genetics that he got from the human race, he got from Mary and Mary alone. What does that mean, preacher? Well, the scripture talks about the seed of the woman in Genesis 3. We're talking about the virgin birth. There's never been a baby born that did not have a man as a father. Now listen, when man fell, we're going to get deep here. When man fell, the fall of the woman did not plunge man into the curse and into the lost condition. She was lost. She fell. But when our federal head, Adam, when he sinned, boom. He did it with his eyes open. That's the difference. He willingly did it, and it plunged the whole human race into sin. Hear me. Take out the man. Take out the man side of things, and it don't pass through the woman. You hear me? The sin nature doesn't pass through the woman. Pass through the man. Therefore, listen, Mary was no more divine than I am. And boy, the Catholics would despise that statement. But she wasn't. She's a great woman. Now, she's a much greater woman than I'll ever be a man. She was highly favored, no doubt about that. Godly woman. Of all the women of all time, God chose that woman. Highest favor ever been bestowed upon a woman. But she was still a sinner herself, but thanks be unto God, her sin nature did not pass to Christ. He wasn't born half a sinner. He wasn't 50-50 a sinner and 50-50 man. No, 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 no. That's what some want to tell you, that he was phallic and that he had a man nature and a God nature. That's a lie right out of hell. The Bible says he was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. And just as sure as man fell by the first Adam, man was redeemed by the last one. Hallelujah. He was the God-man that came on the scene. And I like to say hallelujah. I want you just to look just quickly. I want you to look at a couple of things here. There's this footnote about Joseph that tells us about that he was the legal dad, but we're tracing the line of Heli, not the line of Jacob. We're tracing Mary's father, and so it would have been Joseph would have been the son-in-law. And so I want you to look first of all, and look with me at this. There's this mention of Christ, and there's this footnote about Joseph. But then we're going to spend our time looking at the forebears of Jesus. Look with me what the Bible says in verse number 24. The Bible says was the son of Heli. Look in 24. Was the son of Mathat. The son of Levi. You say, well, I recognize that one. Well, how about Melchi? Janna, Joseph, recognize him, but that's not the one you're thinking. Mattathias, Amos, we recognize Nahum, but that's not the same ones. The time don't fit. Esli. I can't even pronounce most of them. We pick up a Judah and a Joanna, but it was a man. Zerubbabel we recognize, but again, not sure the timeline fits the one that we're talking about. So what are you talking about, preacher? We're introduced to a group of people that we've never heard of before. From Christ back to Zerubbabel. And these are called those silent years. And there's, if the Holy Ghost hadn't recorded them, we'd have no recording of it. They're just people, and their purpose was to begat the next one that would begat the next one that would begat the next one that someday would begat Mary, the highly favored one that God would use. Those silent years. But then, I mean, can I say this way? Just because God doesn't work publicly does not mean that God's not working purposefully. Do you understand? God is purposefully at work right now. You can't go out in the yard and watch a tree grow, but I'll guarantee it's growing. It is growing. You say, oh no, it's wintertime. No. There's still some things taking place. Hey, listen, because all the sap went in the root, you know what the roots are doing? They're digging deeper. And the drier it gets, the deeper they dig. You know what that tree's doing while we're not watching? It's just putting those roots in, because in spring it's going to go up. It needs to have some roots that go out for it to be able to hold it up when it goes up. And we can't see that tree growing downward, but it's a growing downward. Because that's where all the sap's at. In deciduous trees this time of year. It's growing down. Those roots are growing into my septic system. If you don't believe it, go to take a camera, go look in there. I got a line stopped completely up. Because the roots, it's root bound, got in there. And those roots over time have been infiltrating the septic line. Yeah. Nobody knocked on the door and say, Bush said, can we infiltrate your septic line? They didn't ask, they just did it. And they just kept a growing, and they just kept a digging. And they go, here's water. And by the way, it's rich in nutrients. And they just grew all in there. If you was a tree, you'd understand, all right? If you was, that gross you out. You was a tree, you'd understand. So there's the silent years. But then we pick up with the son of Zerubbabel, and then we see Salathiel, and Neri, and Melchi, and Adai, and Kosam. Who in the world are these, preacher? Well, again, we don't recognize much. I can do this for you, though. If we drop on down toward the bottom of the list, we can pick up a couple of names that are going to mean something. Verse number 31, the last two phrases, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. Now, there's no names that we recognize in this list until we get down here. So in other words, this is the same David that you know. And this is where the promise is fulfilled. So what I'm saying was, there were those silent years, but now we are given clues into the secret years. What do you mean secret, preacher? Would you see in 1 Chronicles chapter number 3, verse number 5, the Bible tells us that these were born unto him in Jerusalem, this him being David. Shemaiah and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon 4 of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. And it's the same thought, the same idea, Bathsheba. Now, the first child died because of his sin, and the second born would have been Solomon. Solomon's name means peace. But then there was another baby born And his name was Nathan. And the name Nathan means ordained. But can I say it this way? The spotlight's on Solomon. The spotlight's on Solomon's sons. And they are sitting on the throne. But yet there's another son of David. And his name's Nathan. And he never sits on the throne, but he's still a prince. He's still royal. And so the line of Mary intersects with Nathan, this unspoken heir. Had something happened to, depending on birth order, something happened to Solomon, it's possible that he would have been in order. He would have been next in line. Like right now, the two sons of Prince Charles. You know, one is the Prince of Wales that stayed, and he's the oldest, and then the other one's in Hollywood somewhere. I don't know where he's at, you know. And he's abdicated the throne. He's not going to get it anyway, so he's kind of give it up. And he's, can I say that Nathan was a royal, obviously. But we never hear anything else about Nathan. The Bible doesn't follow his genealogy. The Bible doesn't tell us anything. These are the secret years that the Lord has taken us through. And so we bring up through David. And can I say that this group that I've called to your attention here, this is the royal line. And that had to happen because Christ had to be the heir to the throne. And not just through adoption. He had to be the heir. The Son of God had to be rightful and legal heir to the throne of his father David. And he is, he was, and he ever will be. Can I say it that way? You say, well, how about Joseph? Joseph was disqualified. Joseph's line in name, but Jeremiah said they won't sit on the throne. They're not going to be. They're not going to sit. And even though legally, from not prophetically, but far as the court was concerned, Joseph, yeah, would have had a claim had there been some type of distant inheritance. Yeah, he could have filed for it. And because Christ was his adopted son, yeah, he was an heir in that regard, and that's what's being proven in Matthew chapter number 1. But in Luke chapter number 3, we're proving the bloodline. We're proving the natural line. We're proving the royal line. Mary was a royal. Mary was related, when you track it back, Mary was related to David. Let me throw one at you. Did you know that Prince Charles is related to King James the First? Did you know that? I did his genealogy. Yes, sir, he's a direct descendant. Charles, King of England, is a direct descendant of King James, your King James Bible. But I'm going to throw another one at you. So was Princess Di. So the Prince of Wales, which one's he? Harry's the one that abdicated. What's the other one? William? Yeah, William. William is kin to King James on both sides. There's one generation opposite because Di was much younger than Charles. But the line comes down from King James. They come down like this, and they intersect in the person of William and Harry. They're both related to King James the First of England. And so that royal blood, that royal line. And so the Jeconias, Jeconiah, he's also called Coniah. So even though that God doesn't work publicly, he is working purposely. So there is the royal line. But now we're going to put a little different emphasis on it. So we've got, was the son of David. Now let's look at the situation as far as the religious line. As far as the Hebrew, we recognize some of these people. Jesse, verse 32, Obed, Boaz, we love the story of Boaz and Ruth. Salmon, Nason, Abinadab, Aram, Esrom, Perez. Remember Perez? He is that son of Judah born of Tamar through that illicit relationship. Judah, Jacob, Isaac, boom, Abraham. There he is. Abraham. So just as sure as Joseph was akin to Abraham, so was Mary. So was Mary. That line tracks right back. That's the religious line, all the way back to Abraham. And the Bible says something about Abraham that it said about no other man. The Bible said Abraham was the friend of God. The Bible says that Moses talked to God like he's his friend, but it stopped short of calling him the friend of God. God called Abraham the friend of God. You'll have to take it up with God who his friends are. I'm just telling you, Abraham was the friend of God. Walked with him. He did. Eat dinner with him. Eat dinner with him in the plains of Mamre and discussed him and talked to, did we tell him? Did we tell him why we're here? We're here to bring a curse down on Sodom and Gomorrah. And God, Abraham, bargained with God and brought the number down from 50 down to 10, thinking that he had enough. Who could do that? Only a friend of God. No, certainly. Friend of God did that. So there's the religious line from David to Abraham. But there's one more. The Bible says, son of Abraham. And then we start tracking back even further back. The Bible says Abraham, verse 34, Therah, Nahor, Serug, Regai, Phalek. Here's an interesting one, Eber. I've heard it battered around, but in my opinion, Eber is where the term Hebrew comes from, or Hebrew. I think it's that's where it come from, the family, Abraham's family. That's why he was called Abraham the Hebrew, I think. But if we go on back and we look back at it, Canaan, Arphaxad, verse 36, was the son of Sem, it says in the New Testament, which would be Shem in the Old Testament. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The term anti-Semitic would be against Jews. The word Semite comes from the word Sem here, or the term Shem. Okay? For Africa, most all of those claim to be the sons of Ham, the Hamites. In Egypt, they claim to be the son of Ham's son, Mizar. And when they talk about themselves in English, it's spelled M-I-S-R, which is his name. And it says Mizar all over the place. Mizar traveled. There's all kind of signs up. And they know who they are. They're the sons of Mizar. They're the sons of Ham. They're the grandsons of Ham. They're the sons of Mizar. That's who the Egyptians are. They're one of the most ancient people in the world. And they know that, and they track it back, all the way back. And by the way, they weren't Arabs. They weren't Arabs. They were Egyptians. And it was Hagar was an Egyptian. And it's through Ishmael, that's where the Arabs come from. And then, of course, all the other offshoots that came and all the other things. But Hagar was an Egyptian. So Egypt was there. Abraham went down to Egypt, remember? And he was able to get Lot out of Egypt, but never could have got all of Egypt out of Lot. And so, you know what happened as a result of that. So the Bible says back to Shem, and then which was the son of Noe. And so he takes us in this racial line back to a time before the flood, from Abraham to Noah. And then he takes us even further back to a time before the fall. Look what he says. He goes back and he tracks the human father, or can I say the human father of the human race. Noah, Lamech, Methuselah, Enoch, Jared, Malalel, Canaan, Enos, and then it says the son of Seth. Remember where Seth came from? There was Cain and Abel. Abel was murdered by Cain. Cain was the crowd that had to be wiped out in the flood. And God gave another son by the name of Seth. The Bible says, which was the son of Adam. So back before the time of the fall to the father of the human race, Adam, but he goes back one more step, and the Bible says, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So he takes us to the human father, and then he takes us one more step to the Heavenly Father. And can I say it would be appropriate to say that God begat Adam. You say he didn't do it. He made him out of mud. Yeah, but all he was a mud tie. That's all he was. You know where you got your life from? Your daddy begat you. Except in the case of Mary, and she begat Christ. But all the way back in Genesis chapter, the beginning verses of Genesis, on day 6, God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God imparted life to that mud pie that he had made. Looked like a gingerbread man laying there in the dirt. And that's all he would have ever been. But the difference was God imparted life. You hear me? We can replicate life. We can take life and make life grow. We can do things in test tubes and we can make it grow. But you need to understand something. It all starts with life. When I started to have surgery on my back, I needed surgery. And in this, in our area, they wanted to take a cadaver bone. And what that means is people who donate their bodies to medical science. And they will go in and they will take and carve the bone out of their backbone. They will make it in the form of a disc, and they will open your back up and they will insert that bone disc in the place of your disc, which is flexible. They'll put a piece of bone in there and hope that it fuses. Well, that was the plan. They had already laid it out, what they were going to do to my back. They're going to use cadaver bone in my back. But I wasn't good with that. And I wasn't at all good with it. COVID had just hit and some other things had happened. So I wanted a second opinion, so I drove to Charlotte. When I had the meeting with the doctor down there, I said, this is what the plan was. The plan was screws and rods and cadaver bone. And he looked at me and said, what? I said, yeah, cadaver bone. He said, we ain't used cadaver bone down here in 10 years. Now, this was in 20. So they hadn't used cadaver bone in Charlotte since 2010. We're still using it up here, but they hadn't used it down there. And I said, what in the world do you use? He said, we use something called bone morphogenic protein. It's taken from human tissue. It is grown in a lab. They take a protein. They take a tissue. They take the building blocks of bone. And they grow it. And we buy it. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to hollow out your disc. I'm going to pack it full of BMP. Bone morphogenic protein. And I said, and? He said, I'll use the wall of that disc like a mold and I'm going to pack it full. And he said, I'm going to scrape the bottom of the bone and the top of the other bone. And said, in doing that, you're not to take any Advil. You're not to take any type of anti-inflammatory. I want an inflammatory response. He said, I want your body to inflame. I want your body to see that as a foreign object. And I want it to begin to invade it. And I want the bone to begin to invade those building blocks of bone. And he said, in a year's time, I can take the rods out because those bones will grow together. I said, so they make it from nothing. He said, oh, no. They start with human cells and proteins that are alive, and all they do is cultivate it. Man's not invented life yet. We've invented the building. We know what the building blocks of life are, but all we can do is put it together and it'll just lay there. You got to add life to get life. God's the author of life. And he reserves the title deed of that unto himself. And so the Bible tells us that back to a time before the flood and then back to a time before the fall, the human father of the race, Adam, and the heavenly father of the race, the Son of God. Now, the list that I've just used contains 75 names. It covers 40 centuries of time, from the last Adam. It starts at the bottom, and it takes us back to the first Adam. So can I say it this way? Down a dimly lit back street of time, out of the sight of the enemy, while the attack raged against the line of Solomon, God quietly preserved the line of David through Nathan and brought forth Christ through the seed of the woman. From the Son of God became the Son of Man. From the Son of God, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Happy day. The curse is lifted. Hallelujah. Not just winter. It's Christmas. C.S. Lewis said it was always winter, but never Christmas. Can I tell you, hallelujah, Christmas is here. Come on, ring those bells. It's Christmas. How did that happen? The curse has been lifted for everybody that will receive it. I'm glad, hallelujah, that even though we fell in the first Adam, somebody said, but it wasn't my fault, and I didn't have anything to say about it, and it wasn't my fault, and I didn't do it. Yeah, but you inherited it. And you say, but yeah, but there's nothing I can do about it. Oh, yes, there is. Realize that you're part of that first Adam, and you're lost because of it, and run to the last Adam. Happy day. And embrace Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Come into your heart and cleanse you. And you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Our Father, we pray that You would speak to some heart even now. And Lord, that they would be saved by the good grace of God. And then Lord, our hearts are for those that may be wandering. They know they're redeemed, and yet they're not right with God, and they're living unto themselves. Lord, I pray You'd help them understand how lonesome and how lonely and how futile that is. And Lord, help us to live for something that's bigger than we are. And Lord, help us to live for something that'll make it past the grave. And Lord, help us to invest in things that we can take with us. Our loved ones, our family, our neighbors, and our friends. Through the new birth in Christ Jesus. Speak to hearts and help us tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And amen.